Hi, I'm Terrell Turner. Today, I wanted to do a special interview with a guest, Bob Dye, because he has a background also in finance and working with churches and working with ministries. And I think that when it comes down to, you know, finding the right help to help you navigate things, one of the things that you want to do is you want to be aware of what are some options of people that I can reach out to. And especially when it comes to the finance side, I will tell you is that there are some rules that may be applicable to certain states or certain localities that I'm in North Carolina on the East Coast. So I may not be the best person to help you if you're in California, but if you're there, there are some other people that are out there. And so one of the things I want to do is bring on Bob and we can hop into learning a little bit more about him as well as some of the things he's seen. So without further ado, let me bring on my guest, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you know, Bob, before we jump into the conversation, you know, one of the things that I always like to, you know, do is just let people learn a little bit more about you and your background. So can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I have a history in ministry as a pastor, actually. And whenever I first went to college, that was really my dream to become a pastor. I went to Bible college and learned pastoring and scripture and all of those things that you would need to do that. And then shortly after I got married and then actually started as a full-time teller at a bank. And did that for several years and worked my way up to new accounts and then the mortgage loans. And then eventually I got offered a position in Northern California to be a district manager for a loan office that the bank had. So we actually had two offices and eight different loan reps. So that was really the finance side of things that started to really take off. And I enjoyed that as well. And then an opportunity arose up in Northern California to go into the ministry. So that was something I always wanted to pursue. Spent several years both, started out as a children's pastor and then a lead pastor for a time. And then most recently, I spent about 6 years as an executive pastor overseeing all of the financial operations of a mid-sized church here in Northern California. And then with that, also, I spent about 5 years in between a couple of ministry assignments back in banking, working for a credit union called Evangelical Christian Credit Union. And I did financing for building loans as well as cash management for churches and ministry specifically. And so I really have this background that's intertwined in banking and ministry. And then about 4 years ago, I would always have folks ask me, how do I do this in finance? How do I deal with this? And just a lot of folks would ask me those questions. I thought, man, there is this huge need out there. And so I began Good Shepherd Bookkeeping Solutions about 4 years ago. We've seen a lot of growth. The pandemic was difficult for so many churches, obviously, as I'm sure I'm not sharing any news there. But for us, we were able to come alongside churches. We really perfected, I use that term loosely, but this remote model where we have been able to serve about 35 ministries now in about 10 different states. And so we can do that all through a remote model, doing full service bookkeeping, payroll, and those kinds of things.
Awesome. I mean, you know, such a rich history. And I think it hits on many of the points that, you know, I tell, you know, church leaders about is, you know, from a finance standpoint, one is, you know, just the management. I mean, I think also the financing, which, you know, a lot of, this is my assumption, and I'm curious what your perspective have you found, like with ministers and pastors, is the whole financing and loan process is something that they come in and they really don't have context on how to navigate it and how that process should go from a church standpoint. Did you see something similar to that or did you see something different?
No, absolutely. And so much in terms of even this bookkeeping side of the accounting piece, making sure your books are in order, that is so important for a lender to be able to look at a church and understand their operations. And pastors, they do struggle with that. And that was one of the biggest things that we worked with our clients when I was at ECCU and helping them to produce, well, not, we wouldn't help them, we would get them in contact with someone to help them to produce the financials that were necessary in order to secure a loan. some of the things that I still do is I have many contacts in the banking world, and oftentimes I will get referrals from bankers that would say, this church, we know that they qualify for a loan, but it's not expressed correctly in their financials. And can you help us to express this correctly and make everything make sense so that we can approve this loan for them and help them get a building or a refinance or whatever the case is? And so I think well-meaning volunteers or others, you know, that they're all wanting to do the best job that they can, but sometimes they may not know or understand really what's necessary for good accounting principles and how their profit and loss statement or statement of activity, I should say, and statement of financial position should look for a lender.
No, I think that that is something that I find interesting when I talk with different churches, and they'll tell me like, oh yeah, we have a QuickBooks. And it's like, okay, well, all right, that's a good start. Let's take a look.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And I have one guy on my staff that he's semi-retired, and he spent years in business management at a very large church. And he doesn't take on monthly clients, but all he does is cleanups. And so that's a wonderful resource for us to have someone that really understands this and can help pastors, treasurers, boards to be able to take what their current financials are and help them to express what's really happening. And in a way that whether it's an end of year CPA review for a lender or to get a loan or even to be able to express accurately to the congregation what's really going on in the finances, it's so important.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that has become something that it seems like it's been, I guess you say, exacerbated, or there's been a brighter light focus in that area from, like, you know, navigating the pandemic, where churches really started to feel the financial pressure of mm-hmm. what the pandemic meant for them, to where it's just like they had to start having conversations that they probably hadn't in the past, or things that they didn't pay as much attention to in the past. Now, as you worked with different churches, you know, what were some of the reactions, you know, from a financial management standpoint, did you see churches kind of going through or trying to navigate as, you know, the pandemic, the impacts of the pandemic hit them?
Yeah, not true of all churches, but many churches that I work with and have seen, they really were caught off guard in terms of their online presence and technology, and making sure that folks could give electronically and have several methods to be able to do that. So they kind of had to scramble. They rose to the occasion and would begin to do that more. Obviously, they had their online services and that sort of thing. But, you know, one of the things I saw really across the board is a lot of people within congregations would really step up, and they would say, okay, we know this is a difficult time and we want to help. And several churches actually either maintained or grew during that time financially. Now, that's not true of everybody, but the ones that struggled a little bit, they really had to start to look at expenses, cut back a little bit, make some hard decisions. I think that, you know, one of the things I would try to do, for me, I really take this as a consultative approach, and I really try to work with pastors and ministers each month. I'll do a Zoom meeting with them. We'll go over the financials with them, and here's what's going on, and help them to navigate what they need going forward. So I was doing a lot of that during the pandemic, and then we would talk together. Do we need to cut back on staffing? Do we need to cut back in certain areas of ministry? What can we do to help you to remain financially strong? And so, and the whole PPP loan thing came up. And so that's where I had to scramble and get, you know, well-versed in that. And I did help several churches secure a PPP loan, which was very, very helpful for churches to bridge that gap. And I think we're going into, and you didn't ask this specifically, but I think we're heading into another challenging time with inflation right now, and how that's going to impact churches and giving. And so it'll be interesting to see how we navigate through that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I think the you know, coming from the pandemic to, you know, people starting to feel like they're getting their feet back under them, to now with inflation. And yeah, I think that the fundamentals of accounting, you know, are an area where I think I've seen also a lot of churches haven't been as well versed in the fundamentals of, you know, good, sound financial management practices.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, I think they want to. I think there's a desire there. I think that most treasurers, they enter into this board position. First of all, they don't necessarily have experience or training. Some do. Some are very blessed to have a CPA like yourself on the board, you know, as the treasurer. That's wonderful. But that's not the case for every church. And so sometimes you have, you know, someone that is a business owner and, you know, knows how to do business. And now they're the treasurer of a church, but they just don't know how and the differences and some of the unique things that that a church has and does in their processes financially. And so sometimes there's a learning curve there that needs to take place. And so, again, I think the desire's there, but it's the execution that hopefully we can give, you know, resources and information and training to be able to help folks to rise to that occasion.
Absolutely. I mean, you bring up an interesting point about, you know, just kind of that industry specific knowledge, because, you know, I talk to a lot of accounting and finance and bookkeeping firms, and, you know, as we've been developing, like growing our firm, you know, we had to really take a step back and say, hey, there are a couple of areas where we're really going to focus in, instead of just trying to be all things to all industries, because that's just not going to work. Right. Do you find that, you know, do you often find that there or run into many other, you know, firms that do focus on supporting churches?
Yeah, I think there are some. There's some larger businesses that have really tried to focus on churches. I think that, you know, when I first started, I did start kind of this broad thing, like I want to, you know, work with other businesses or even Christian-owned businesses or that sort of a thing. And I have a business coach and I'm part of a group for, you know, that does business training and that sort of a thing. And one of the things they said early on was niche down into what you know. And that's probably some of the best advice I ever had was to, I know this industry. I have, you know, lived and worked in this for 30 plus years. And so I understand it. And so to be able to offer that expertise and then to say, I work exclusively with churches and ministries, that expertise really helps. Because I think one of the pain points for churches is finding someone. They may have a volunteer that's been wonderful for 20 years, and all of a sudden they're going to move out of state or they're going to retire or whatever the case may be. And churches are really left like, what in the world do we do? And they may go talk to five bookkeepers or accountants in town, and they're like, we can't help you. We don't know churches, or that's not our wheelhouse or expertise. And so churches are kind of left like, okay, what do we do? And so now, you know, there is, since the pandemic, there's been much more of an openness to do a remote model, to take their books and allow someone to do those remotely. And so that's been a huge, huge change, because I think before that, churches felt way more comfortable having someone in a seat in the office doing their finances. And so, I mean, that's almost, I would say, been revolutionary in the church world to shift from that approach to a remote approach. But the nice thing about the remote approach is I have a team of six different part-time bookkeepers. And so we put everything in our workflows and all of that. And so if somebody leaves or shifts or goes on vacation, we can assign it to another bookkeeper. And so there's very little hiccups that happens to the ministry or panic whenever it's like, who are we going to get to do this? And so, so the other side of that, you know, from the expertise standpoint is whenever you do hire someone that who is not familiar in the church world, then that can become difficult down the road because they don't know how to process donations correctly or to express, you know, things on the income statement or the balance sheet correctly, especially designated funds. That's one of the biggies, how to manage designated funds and so, or donor restricted funds. So hugely important, and not everybody quite understands the theory and all that and how it works.
You know, that's a very interesting point that you bring up, and you know, for those that are watching and listening, you know, to give some context, I'm going to share this picture real quick. So the picture that I'm sharing on the screen, it was from statistics from like 2010. I mean, when you look at, you know, the number of churches in the U.S., which, you know, Texas leads with like 27,000 churches. There are 23,000 in California. There are 15,000 in North Carolina. Now, that's just the top three states. Yeah. And when I look at stuff like that, I'm just like, wow, there really is a need for a specialty, because it is a bit, there are, and I think when I added up all the numbers, it was like over 400,000 churches, you know, in the U.S., to where it's just like, that is a massive, massive market that has, you know, some pretty specific, you know, issues or let's say financial subject matters that you really have to look into a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of word of mouth, a lot of, you know, pastors know one another, go to conferences, whatever. And, you know, if you're doing a good job, it's like, oh, so-and-so, you know, Good Shepherd cleaned up our books, and so give them a call. And so, you know, referrals are one of the biggest ways that we continue to grow. And then what marketing we have done, to be honest, we've had more response than we have capacity to be able to fulfill sometimes. And so, so I would just say, yeah, there is a need. And so, you know, and one of the things I get to do, and I'm blessed to do, is to work with some other bookkeepers that want to get into this same niche and help them along to do that. Folks have helped me, and so that's what I want to do. And because there is, I mean, I think there's plenty for everybody, is I guess what I'm trying to say. And there are other organizations doing this as well. If you do a Google search for church bookkeeping, then, you know, you're going to see a list of several different churches. Now, sometimes church is part of what they do, and then they do other things. And not that that's a bad thing, but I have found that churches respond very well when I say, this is all we do. You know, we focus on you, and this is what we do all day, every day. And so there's a comfort, I think, that they have in that.
Nice. You know, now something I wanted to ask about is, because, you know, every week Harriet and I, we aim to do a live, and we're talking about different topics. And this past week, or I guess you say this past Monday, the topic that we talked about was, you know, church run schools. So a lot of churches are, I mean, as you know, as people went through the pandemic, they got a little bit more exposure to the educational process for their children, and many parents got an exposure to the need that their child has, and they probably are thinking like, hey, my child needs, you know, a learning environment like this to help them. And I think a lot of churches that I've heard from have been asking questions about like, hey, what if we started a school at, you know, through our church? And so when it comes down to that, have you worked with many churches that do have, like, you know, a church run school?
Yeah, I do have a few of those. I wouldn't say a lot of them, but probably around five of the portfolio that I have church run school. I have actually a large one in Northern California that has a pretty large preschool, and then they go up through kindergarten, and they don't have the full elementary portion of that yet, but this preschool is within the community, the premier Christian school. Well, they got hit by the pandemic and had to go with the PPP loan, and the teachers had to take time away. They actually closed for an entire year. They had to make that hard decision. Wow. Very, very tough. And that was for the school year ending 2021. And so last summer, they decided to come back. And it was amazing, because as soon as they got the word out that we're coming back, they filled up like that. I mean, just to capacity. And this year, they're adding classes and adding more teachers and more kids. And in fact, they just started last week, and it's just, you know, exploding. And so to your point, you know, I think that demonstrates to me that there is a huge need in communities where they want to have Christian-based whether it's preschool or elementary school or whatever the case may be. So it is a good thing for churches to be involved in. I have seen in different churches over the years that I think you have to be super careful that it is a ministry of the church. And so the leadership are united in their desire to have a Christian school as part of the church's vision. Because I have seen adversarial things develop over years where the school becomes its own entity and they have their own leadership and everything. They're kind of over here doing their own thing, or even they rent out another organization to come in, and then it's a whole different thing than what the vision and ministry of the church becomes. And I think there could be a danger there. I'm not saying that would always be a danger, but sometimes there's just a bit of a clash of values or how they see vision or how they want to go forward. Or even financially, those kinds of things come up. Well, this, you know, the school needs to pay for this, or they need to clean up the classrooms for Sunday. And, you know, there's those kinds of things that you have to think through and work out. But I think for a church that would want to start a school, I think the financial component is super important to sit down with someone who can advise you. Could be the board treasurer, could be a CPA, whoever you're working with, that could help you to understand, how do I budget? You're probably your biggest expense is going to be payroll. You need to think about that in terms of how much can the market handle for tuition. And you gotta look, okay, how many students do I think I'm gonna have? So you have a projected income, and then begin to look at payroll and utilities. And does the church, will the church charge the school utilities? And in the scenario I told you about, we pretty much go 25% across the board, I should say the church does, and charges them for utilities and landscaping and custodial costs and all of those things. So you really have to think through all of that and how the church is going to integrate with the school and what that looks like. So there, I would just say there's a lot of things to think through. It's a wonderful thing to do, but just a lot to think through.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and I will say, for those that are listening or watching this, I did not prep him to say those things, in which some of those things you may hear as like, hey, Terrell's mentioned that as well. Well, I think that's why it's good to have different voices on. I mean, because I do think, you know, these type of topics are very important, and it is good to have, you know, to be able to hear the perspective of others. And when you start to hear something consistently said, you know, it's like, hey, we should probably pay a little bit more attention to that.
That's right. I agree.
Awesome. Well, Bob, thank you so much for coming on. Now, but before you go, two questions. First one is, where can people find you online if they're interested in learning a little bit more about your organization, kind of the services you provide, or any of the resources you put out there?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So you can go to goodshepherdbookkeeping.com. And yep, there it is. Thank you, Terrell, for that. And where it says get started now up there, it's really easy to go there, and you can set up a consultation with me. I usually do this in a couple of phased ways. I like to just do a chat, get to know you, get to know your ministry, and you get to know me a little bit, see if we're a good fit. And then from there, I'll just get some financial information and be able to share with you what we can do for you. So, would love to have anyone that just wants to chat about a situation you're having or some need you might have, would love to connect with you and help you as best we can.
Awesome. I absolutely love it. Now, before we wrap up, one final question that I love asking every guest that comes on. I mean, you know, based on, you know, we've talked about several different points, and always ask is, you know, if you were talking to a church leader and it's like, hey, you know, from the conversation you just heard, here are two really big takeaways I want you to keep in mind, you know, from this conversation you just heard, what would your two takeaways kind of be?
I know from being back when I was in pastoral ministry, even as a lead pastor, and that would be, you know, you don't always get taught these things. There are certain seminaries that have church administration and that sort of thing, but sometimes it's just by being in the thick of it. And, you know, I've heard pastors over and over again say, well, they didn't teach me that in Bible college or in seminary. I mean, how do you secure a commercial loan for a $2 million building or these kinds of things? You're not always taught that. But I would say out of that, you need to surround yourself with qualified and experienced people who can help you. to establish your internal processes, your controls, as well as your financial statements. That's going to express a true picture of what's happening in the ministry. Because I always like to tell pastors that, you know, it's not just a matter of crunching numbers and putting it out there and say, this is your net income, but every set of financials tells a story. Tells a story about what's happening in the ministry. Where's the ministry going? Is the ministry prepared for what's next? Do you have the cash reserves to be able to move forward in the dreams and the vision that God has given you? So there's all those things that you need to think about. So I'd say surround yourself with experienced people, whether that's a ministry banker, and I have plenty of connections there I could connect you with, or it's a CPA that you're working with that's going to help you, or an experienced bookkeeper that understands churches and ministries, then I would say you can't go wrong to get a group of people to give you advice. As Terrell said, you know, hear many voices and then understand there's safety in a multitude of counsel. So that's what I always like to tell folks. And the second thing I would say is integrity in church finance, accountability and integrity. And what I have seen is that whenever churches are open about their finances, and that doesn't necessarily mean they're talking about it or handing out financials every week, but their annual congregational meeting or whatever the case may be, or you know, they have their financials reviewed by a CPA or that sort of thing, but they can in confidence say that we know that these financials are good, we know that our processes are intact. And what I've seen is that whenever you establish excellence in your ministry, especially around finances, that helps people to be even more confident and apt to give more towards your vision and your mission to continue to serve your church and obviously to love your community and to help them. And so it's important to have that confidence. And so I think that's another reason why having strong, good, well-done financials are very, very important.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. Well, Bob, thank you so much for being an amazing guest on. It's definitely a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thank you, Terrell. Thanks for having me. And it was great to be here. Nice to see you.